Well, let's bow in prayer and then we'll look at God's Word. Our Father, thank you for who you are, and we thank you that we can call you our Father. It was your Son, Jesus, who when he came into our world, he taught us about you and even called you our Heavenly Father. And we thank you that when we understand what Jesus came to do for us, we thank you that that term, Father, means everything, because we know that in dying for our sins and rising again, he has cleansed us of our sins and has brought us into right relationship with you. You're no longer just the great almighty God, but our loving Father who cares for us more than we could ever comprehend. So we want to say thank you for that. Thank you for who you are. And thank you for this time we have now to look at a portion of your word. We ask that you would minister to us through it. And we thank you for each one here and listening online, and ask that you would minister through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as many of you will know, this is my first Father's Day without my father being around. And that's the same for my brother John. And only a few months ago, my second dad, that's what I call him, Uncle Errol, passed away on the 17th of June. And then my own dad on the 30th of June. But they're in glory because I know they had a true faith in Jesus. And just to have I know it's a little bit, it's sad, but there's also like a funny part to the story. Uncle Errol and Dad were always competitive, and it's like they were having a race to heaven. And we had a bit of a chat about that, the cousins and I, in regards to that. And now we've got two Kirk brothers in heaven. Well, that's a thought. Anyway, that's where they are. And some of you will know that I had the joy of leading my dad, being used by God to help my own dad become a genuine Christian. For many years he wasn't there. He was just a churchgoer and never really knew Jesus personally. And as I live out this day, I'm blessed to be a dad myself with three daughters and eight grandchildren. I am so thankful. As I think of my dad, I'm buoyed up, I honestly am, by lots of great memories about my dad. So I was blessed to have a good dad. Not a perfect dad, but a dad who set right priorities, a great dad he was. And John and I have got lots of memories of our dad, including the three of us together. And if I think of John, Dad and myself, often the word would come chainsaw. So, and the three Kirks with a chainsaw could be dangerous. So it's Father's Day, and I thought it'd be good for us to do a Father's Day sermon. What do you reckon? It's good to look at what the Word of God says about being a man and a father, especially in the world we live in. Now there's apparently another reason why I need to do a Father's Day sermon, and some of you might start laughing about this, because of the Mother's Day sermon I did on the 9th of May. And if you remember, the Mother's Day sermon was a little bit hard-hitting. I didn't mean it to be. It was quite challenging. And that's because it was from Proverbs 31. Do you know Proverbs 31? The remarkable lady. The lady who's like beyond compare. And preaching from that made some of the women in our church feel like, oh, I'm a failure. It was so challenging. And so I was, back then, I do remember, by the way, I'm preaching this sermon because the Lord has led me, but I did have that pressure back then, you need to also give the man a challenging sermon as well. Alright, so, here we go. Well, hang on, first of all, I notice in my Bible that when I read it, there's no Proverbs 32. How about that? In fact, I can't even find one whole chapter on us being men and fathers. How can that be? Well, I thought that's why. It's because us men have got to act together. What are you laughing about? Well, if you come to that conclusion, you are very wrong. And actually now to change subject completely to something serious, like I am so conscious that the society we live in has really declined. And that declining, sometimes we think it's because of the secularism and the humanism and the rise of feminism. But the real problem in our society has been the decline of masculinism. Men and fathers living out God's will as He designed it. Have you ever thought of that? Men failing to be who they're meant to be, leaving a huge vacuum for this world to just plummet. And that's why it's so important that we look at Father's Day, we look at the qualities that a father and a man should have. And even though there's no chapter, no Proverbs 32 about a man, I started thinking about this and thought, you know why, we don't need a whole chapter about being men, because beautifully woven through the Holy Scriptures by the Holy Spirit has been the glorious picture of the Great Father Himself. And if you read the Bible, you are going to come across the glorious Father. You get to see what fatherhood looks like by looking at our great God. And even our Lord Jesus, He also is a perfect example of fatherhood, because He fathered His disciples. And one of the great titles given to Him in Isaiah chapter 9, remember Isaiah chapter 9? It says there those four great things of our Lord Jesus, that He would be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so I know for myself personally, I have had the joy, not only having an earthly father, but the testimony of Scripture that gives to me a beautiful picture of what it looks like to be a father and a man in the world we live in. But there also are some great passages in the Bible about fatherhood, and we looked at one this morning in our Bible reading. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. And I'm just going to read it to you first of all, and we're going to see three great qualities that should be in men as well as fathers. So let me read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 10 to 12. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Just three verses. Now, to be sure, the passage that I've just read out is about Paul, and about Paul's heart for ministry. But did you notice in verse 11 that he likened his ministry to people to be what a father does for his children? And I find that extraordinary. In this passage, yes, it's about Paul's ministry to others. We see a beautiful nugget of truth in verse 11 in regards to how fathers should be to their children, because Paul uses that as an example of what he's like to people. And so in that verse 11, I want to pick up and talk to you about three things. And they are, in my translation, they are these words: exhorting, encouraging, and imploring. And just to make it easier to remember, we'll go for three E words. What are the three E words? Exhorting, encouraging, and the other one is entreating, which is the same as imploring. Three great words. And I want to look at these today and show to you how these are qualities that men and fathers need. And I want the men in our church here this morning, as we listen in, that we might understand that these are the qualities that are so often lacking and causing masculinism to crumble. And it's something we need to recover with the help of our God. And for all the women out there, I want you to listen as well. And I want you to be praying and supporting the men in your life, your sons, your husband, your fathers, that you be those who support the men to be the men we ought to be under Christ and for the glory of God. Our aim should be that we ought to be men who are good and godly and great for the people around us. So the very first thing we're going to look at is that first word. And it's the word exhort. It says, verse 11, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. So Paul describes in his ministry that he would exhort. And he's saying that's what fathers do. They are meant to exhort their children. And that's what I'm doing when it comes to my ministry. So what does the word exhort mean? Well, I want you to just hear what the Greek word is. The Greek word that we translate to be exhort is the word parakaluntes. Nice, interesting word to say, right? Parakaluntes. Did you pick up the word para at the beginning of it? Para means coming alongside. And kaluntes means speaking authoritatively. So what exhorting means is that we come alongside people. I want to think now of a father especially. You come alongside and you speak authoritatively. Paul did that as a minister of the gospel. Coming alongside and speaking authoritatively to people. What does it mean to speak authoritatively? It means to speak with an authoritative word. Do you know of any authoritative word? The word of God. The word of God. So the apostle Paul, what we're saying here is he would come alongside and speak the word of God, the truth of God to people. And Paul is saying really, because he's using that fathers as an example, that's what fathers do, that's what I do. So that means that we should think of this. That means as a father, it's assumed that I'm going to be exhorting my children. I'm going to be speaking authoritatively into their lives through the truth, through the word of God. And that, my friends, is a huge thing to do. As a father blessed with our three daughters, this was one of my highest joys and delights. If Colleen could come up and speak about this, she would know this. I love this wonderful task that God had given me to do. So nearly every night, I can't say it was every night, but nearly every night, we had our family devotions. And I would pull out to start with, can you imagine this, right? Pulling out, first of all, the cardboard little books on the Bible. Do you remember them? The thick books? And I'd show the pictures and read the stories. And then we went further, of course, to a children's Bible and then to an adult Bible. And I had the joy and privilege to teach our three daughters about what? Speaking authoritatively from the word of truth, the first thing I wanted them to understand is that we have an awesome creator who made them, who made us. And I wanted to speak to them from the word of God authoritatively about his glorious character. I wanted to let them know what an awesome God we have who rules this universe through the stories of the Bible. It was my joy and delight to do this. I remember, I got all these memories. Colleen will probably tell you if she got up here. Ian was pretty excited when he used to do this every time. Can you believe that? I was actually. You're like, oh man, I was acting out the stories. I tell you, probably jumping over the room. And the kids were getting to see all these amazing things. And teaching them about our God. But let me go on. I taught our children about the Word of God. I taught our children about the Lord Jesus. His glory and majesty and wonder. And what he did for us. And how we can be made right with our God. And it was such an amazing time. And almost every night. Sometimes there were nights I couldn't do it. Maybe I was sick or maybe I had an important meeting. And I just want to say to you all. You know, I remember coming home tired, especially when I was an engineer, looking after the control room, running the control room that runs the whole Southwest Energy. And I would come home quite exhausted, 12 hours of heavy work. But I just remember being revved up when I got home because I understood that this was more important than what I was doing in the control room. It was more important than me teaching these kids about Jesus, my children, about our great God, than keeping power on in the state. Is that true? It is. Because we're talking about eternity here. And I wanted to do everything I could to help my children have every opportunity to join Colin and I one day in glory around the throne. I can't think of anything more important than that. And so that's why it's so important. So what was I doing? I was exhorting. I was exhorting my children. I was helping them. I was speaking to them authoritatively from the Word of God. And that's what we're meant to do, men and fathers. And if we're not doing that, we are failing. Do you know that God said to Abraham these words? In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. You know the great man Abraham. God says in Genesis 18, 19. For I have chosen him. In order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. And even though we know Abraham as a man of faith, he was a man who also instructed his children and his grandchildren in the things of God. And he's a great example of how we are meant to be as well. And I'm so glad, I know we need help, guys, and I'm so glad that I had a wife, Colleen, who would encourage me in doing this and making sure that I was doing it. You know, like, thank you, Ian. And sometimes when I had a meeting on, she would wonder, well, what should you do first? How are you going to fit it in? And it was good for me to think through. There were some times when I couldn't, actually, and then Colleen would do something instead. But we did everything we could to teach our children. And I love seeing the joy on their hearts. You know, when I think about children, I love how when I think of that they are a gift to you from God, they do. I know they have a sinful nature, as I do, we all do, but I also see in their hearts like a clean slate. And it's my privilege to put onto that clean slate the glory of our God, that they might understand who He is. Not just like Jesus died on the cross and rose again, but the heart of our God. His glory and majesty. It's those big things that they grabbed hold of. And I also want to say to you all that it's not the number one priority to entrust this responsibility to the youth group leader, to the Sunday school or Bible school teacher, or to the pastor. It's great when they're all doing it too, but it's to you as a father to exhort your children. So may we do that, and may we do it well. The next word I want to look at, not exhort now, is the word encourage. And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11 as well. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. So Paul would encourage believers. And encourage is a lovely word, isn't it? And I just want to say that Paul again uses it as an example here, just as a father encourages his children, that's what we did too. That's what ministry is about. Again, it's really interesting to look at the Greek word here. This is a bit of a mouthful to say this one, so I'll try and get it right. It's the word paramuthumenoi. Paramuthumenoi. And it's also got the word para in it to come alongside, but it's very different to the previous word. This one, the last part of this word, means to come alongside and to speak in a friendly and kind manner. Isn't that lovely? So we as a father are to speak authoritatively from the word of truth, but we're also to come alongside and speak in a friendly and kind manner to our children. When do we do that? It's not like you just have to tell your kids off all the time. You've got to learn to have friendly and kind discussion with your kids. And I've got to tell you that I was blessed to have a dad who was a great encourager. And my brother John could testify to that. And I want to talk a little bit about dad now. I remember dad coming alongside in a friendly and gentle manner and helping me with study. I remember him helping me with math and other things like that. And it was in a friendly manner. It wasn't telling off. It was just encouraging me. And it helped me to really grow and develop. I'm really amazed when I look back at all this now because my dad didn't do very good at school. So that's amazing that he was helping me. Till I got the calculus, then he had to bomb out because he didn't know any of that. But that's fine. But also, of course, besides education, Dad was a wonderful encourager. He came alongside and was in a very friendly and helpful manner, encouraged me in sport. Well, he was a great sportsman, so he used to do that for me. I remember Dad just in a very gentle manner doing all those things that a dad should do, like I'm playing in sport and Dad's not living his dreams out through me. He's not driving me. He's just encouraging me to do my best. Keep your eyes on the ball. Never give up. Play to the final whistle. Be calm, cool and collected. Now that was a good one for me to learn. I've got to tell you a bit of a story here. Right, okay. So Dad is telling me be calm, cool and collected. I was playing down here, just down across the railway line at the Bathurst Tennis Club one day in a final, playing tennis. Tennis can be the most frustrating game. Let me just tell you that so you'll understand what happens next. So I'm playing, right? And I'm playing as best I can, but I'm missing the lines. The ball's going out quite often, and I'm getting so frustrated. So then, in frustration, I'm not a Christian yet, I get my racket, and I throw it on the ground. I did a McEnroe. All right. Well, blow me down. I hit the ground harder than I thought. The racket goes flying up in the air and over the fence. Never happened in my life. Then I had to walk past the club room. There's a pause on the game. Pick up my racket. Still okay. Come back and I hear Dad's gentle voice in my head going, "Be calm, cool and collected." See, that's encouragement, right? Those encouraging words are feeding me. And I gained my composure, I played, and I won. How did that happen? Because I had a dad who had encouraged me. And so I just, you know, all those amazing stories. And Dad, of course, encouraged John and I to be godly men, to be people who pray. Dad wasn't even a Christian, born again yet, but he's teaching us about the right way to live. And I really appreciate his encouraging manner. Let me now read to you two verses from the New Testament how we are not to be. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says there, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Wow. Don't provoke or incite your children to anger. Do you know we can do that? We're doing the opposite to encouraging. We're frustrating our children. And then, it's in the next, in the next letter of Paul, it says there in Colossians, or not in the next letter, it goes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart." So the Bible knows how we can mess it up really good. We can frustrate our kids. We can exasperate our kids. And I'm glad my dad wasn't like that. He was a great encourager. And of course, we're going to miss that. And so, as men, we are to be encouragers. And not only are we to be encouragers of our children, we are meant to be an encouragement to our wife. Let's go back to Proverbs 31. Right, in that chapter that is so challenging for women, the remarkable resource for women, it does say in Proverbs 31, 28 and 29, it says, "Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.'" See that? That's encouragement. A man is meant to be full of encouragement. And to me, the best way to be an encourager, especially to your children, is by following God's word and God's example. There's a great passage on this. Romans chapter 15, 4 and 5. It says in Romans 15, 4 and 5, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus." You hear what it says there? The Word of God is a source of great encouragement, and God our Father is a source of great encouragement. And that's how we can really encourage each other in church. We can encourage our wife. We can encourage our children, especially through the Scriptures and through our God. Okay, one more point to look at. We've looked at exhort, encourage. Now we're going to look at the word entreat. And that's also in verse 11. I know in my translation it's got the word implore, but it probably is better translated with the word entreat. And again, if I share with you the Greek word, you'll understand what's behind it. The Greek word is marturamenoi, marturamenoi. And what that Greek word means is making an emphatic demand. Wow, that's a little bit different to encouragement, isn't it? Making an emphatic demand. So that's what Paul would do. Did you know that Paul did that? How would that look? Well, when it came to Christians, Paul would say things like this. Live for Christ. That's an emphatic demand. Live for Christ. Isn't it? And of course, for those who are non-Christians, Paul would make that emphatic demand. What would he say? He would say to people, look to Christ and be saved. And so Paul in verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 2, don't forget he's describing ministry, but he says that that's what, he likens what he does to a father with his children. So that means as fathers, we also should be entreating our children as well. Emphatic demands on their life. What would you do then? What would come to your mind? What would be the things you want to emphasize? What demand would you want to put on your child as they grow up? Well, there's all sorts of things. Like it might be, like Dad could have done this. I am demanding that you be a sports champion like I was. Man, that is hard, you know, living under that pressure. I am so glad we never had that. With my own children, I wanted to make sure that I never made any demand upon them in their sporting ability. And blow me down, two of them became Australian cycling championships. There you go. So that's what, you know, but you've got to make sure you've got to make the right demands. That's not the demands to make. Or what about this demand? You've got to do really well at school so that you might get a really good paying, high paying job and have a great career. Is that a demand we should make on our children? No! I've seen it happen. And I've seen kids crumble under the pressure. What sort of demand would I ever make of my children? The emphatic demand for my children, of course you would know. What would it be? Turn to Jesus. Oh, be saved. Call on Him. Be a child of the King. That's the emphatic demand I made on my children. And when they did, what a joy it was to see them come to Christ. The next emphatic demand was, keep looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. There's a place to do that. You've got to work out what is the demand you need to put on your children. And then you need to go for it. And as you all know, one of my favourite passages in the Bible, when I was a young Christian, I learned this off by heart, was Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. But the reality is, it wasn't just special for me, I made it special for my children too. I taught them these verses. And those great verses of Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 are these. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The third verse says, consider him. And that's the demand I had on my child. Children, demand sounds a funny word, but what I mean, I'm entreating them, I'm urging them, I'm wanting to do everything I can with emotion in my heart to help them, first of all, turn to Jesus, and then to follow Jesus all the days of their life. And so as a father, I'm blessed to have three children and now eight great-grandchildren, I'm so conscious that, according to the Word of God, I am required, and I ought to have a longing to do this. I am to exhort, I am to encourage, and I am to entreat children. And I would encourage every man here, if you're a father especially, that you try to follow in those footsteps as well, to the glory of our God. We live in days where this is such a desperate thing to do. Do you understand that? Do you understand how children are bombed with so much garbage and rubbish? If we don't do this, if we leave a vacuum, their minds will be filled with the secularism and humanism and the anti-God talk in our world. We must take up the reins and be the fathers God has called us to be. And I could finish there, but I just want to say one more thing. Above everything, I do love the example of the great Father in heaven. I love his beautiful and wonderful character. I don't have a dad here on earth anymore, but I still have a Father in heaven forever and ever. And I want to read to you the great Father and of course the Lord Jesus and their wonderful character. And I've picked Psalm 103 to read from this, and there's a reference to fathers in this part of the psalm. And then we're going to sing together 10,000 Reasons. And Psalm 103, 8 to 14, declare these great words. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. And even before I read the rest, this is our God, O praise his name. This is the example that he sets for fathers. Something we can't do though, we can't forgive sin. But verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We can forgive our children when they sin against us, though. And then verses 13 and 14, what tender words these are. Just as a father has compassion on his children. Notice the dominant attribute there. What's it? Compassion. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. You know, as I think of that, I'm obviously singing verse 3, I'm just thinking of my dad. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. Amen indeed. You know, one of the verses in the Revelation actually that really touches me is in Revelation 7, 15 to 17. It's like something I can't help but picture and long for. I want to just read it and then I'll close in prayer. It says, for this reason, the reason being we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, for this reason, speaking of Christians, they are before the throne of God. And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. And I just got to say, what a father. A father who loves us and cares for us and one day will be around his throne. But it doesn't end there. Then it goes on to speak about Jesus. And the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. What a God. Oh, praise his name. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for just even those words we've just looked at in Revelation, that to think that we should be welcomed into your presence and one day be around your throne forever. There is no Father like you, a Father who has borne our insults and you have suffered our rejection and rebellion, and yet you have sought after us and you have made a way possible for us to be saved, to be brought back home to you. You are like an extraordinary Father, like no other. And we are just conscious on this Father's Day of you. And we just thank you for what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus. And Father, I thank you also for all those instructions that were in your word about us earthly fathers. I just ask that you'd help us to be an example to the people around us like you are to us, and that we might be a great Father, if we are blessed to be fathers to our children, exhorting, encouraging, and entreating them with all our heart and with your help. And pray, Lord, that you'd also have the women in our lives to be a good support to help us, because we can lose the plot. May we have those women in our life, our own wife, to encourage us in this most important and holy role. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.